Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You're listening to Sci-Fi Wire's 22 Days of Marvel. Today, it's a special bonus episode of the podcast as we're breaking down the new post-Endgame trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home. Stay tuned. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's 22 Days of Marvel podcast. I'm today's moderator, Matt Romano. Today, we're breaking down the brand new trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home. The trailer dropped earlier this morning, and it's the first real look at the next chapter in the MCU after the events of Avengers Endgame. Joining me today for this quick breakdown are my very own personal Avengers, Sci-Fi Wire's Morgan Johnson and Max Tedaldi.
Yo.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
We're back.
Getting the team back together again.
We just couldn't stay away.
It's the 23rd day
of
Marvel.
It's the 23rd day. Mm-hmm. I mean, very nice. We might have to title it day 23, but I don't want to confuse anybody.
Yeah.
You have such an established brand already.
Exactly.
22 days.
Exactly.
Only 22.
But we weren't planning to do this episode. I think it was a surprise to us. We knew that today was the lift of the spoiler ban per the Russo brothers. Mm-hmm. So now you're now free to talk about Endgame on the internet, which is exciting.
Yeah. And I love how they owned that. They were just like, no one's allowed to post any spoilers or else you are not a true fan of the MCU. It was like a very distinct decision that they made. And people, for the most part,
I think followed it.
Yeah,
that was the most amazing thing, that like the internet like obliged.
No, it's like, we are your overlords. You will listen to
yes,
us.
Yes, Russo brothers,
and
more
we were like,
movies.
Okay, if we do what they say, maybe they'll be nice to us
exactly.
and like do more cool things.
Maybe they'll bring Cap back.
And the internet is really not known for being a kind entity.
Yeah.
Or following any type of rules.
Doing anything.
Yeah. No, but it's exciting. So now we can talk about it. And with that spoiler ban, now we know why the spoiler ban was going to be lifted today, because we got a brand new Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, which is exciting because there are some really juicy post-Endgame nuggets in there.
Oh, yeah. There's some nugs in there.
Yeah.
For sure.
That we can dive into.
I also just love that I think it would make a lot of sense for them to end Phase 3 with Endgame. It is called Endgame.
Yeah.
It felt so climactic, but there's something cool about having this almost like an epilogue of the Phase 3 where it's kind of teeing up all of this stuff that we're going to see in Phase 4. And it lets Phase 3 be its own thing while really kind of ushering us into the new era, which I think is really exciting.
Because they have said that Far From Home is the official end of Phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're still in Phase 3. And I guess it's more so, like you said, Max, dealing with the after effects of that. So kind of a little sprinkling to kind of like give us a little bit of
a little amuse-bouche.
Yeah, like, you know, would you like a dessert wine after your meal?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I would.
Well, thank you.
I definitely would. Spider-Man, do say so.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's interesting because I don't have the full list in front of me, but I'm pretty sure, like, was it Ant-Man or Ant-Man 2 that closed out a phase?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? You know, so they seem to, like, it's a little lighthearted. It's, like, you know, a little more down-to-earth stakes. And, and I kind of like it, though, because there's so many questions and there's, like, I'm good there's going to be a primer. I'm glad there's going to be a primer before the next phase, because there's a lot of questions I just want answered out and get out of the way.
Yeah.
And then we can just jump into it, you know.
For sure.
And I think it seems as if they are going to at least address, like, it's been 5 years and everyone's back and Tony is gone. So it seems like they are going to get more into that world, which we didn't see really any of in Endgame. So I think it will answer some of those questions.
So many broken homes.
So many. Well, before we get into the trailer and break it down, it now has been 2 weeks since Endgame premiered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The spoiler ban has lifted. So any lingering thoughts, you know, 2 weeks later from Endgame? How many times have you guys seen it?
So I've been too emotionally spent from Endgame to go back. I'm not ready to go back there just yet. I think the things that have stayed with me is I sort of evilly looked at some clips on YouTube that people rip from the movie. I know, highly illegal. I just can't get over that scene with Cap wielding the hammer. It's too much. I get pumped up. My heart rate goes up. I stand up in my seat. It is literally one of the coolest moments in cinematic history.
Yeah.
And then what I was also left with is how, after watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2, just sort of disappointed I was with the direction that that franchise went. And there were definitely some moments of Guardians 2 that I loved, but as a whole, was not in love with that movie. But now how pumped I am for Guardians 3,
yeah,
the Asgardians of the Galaxy. And I think Thor is like the absolutely perfect thing to inject into that franchise to give a new life.
Yeah.
It's going to be so amazing.
Absolutely.
Their banter that they have is, you know, it's going to be like a cornerstone of that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's perfect.
I have not gone to see it again. And yes, due to emotional reasons, but also just like setting aside another 3 hours to sit in a movie theater is like, has been a lot lately. I've been kind of busy. Yeah. So that's another reason why. But I can't wait to see it again. And I've talked to other people in the office about this. Just the number of things that I know I probably missed in that first viewing that I want to go back and like all the lines that I missed. I was talking to someone the other day and I was like, oh, one of my favorite lines is after Cap wields Thor's hammer and Thor says, I knew it. He was like, oh, I didn't hear that in my theater.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's one of the best lines.
Yeah,
and he's
totally.
Like, well, people were screaming too loudly because Cap was holding the hammer. So I think there are equally number of lines that I probably missed because I was screaming too loudly at some point throughout. So
it's tough to notice things when you're either screaming or crying.
Yeah.
The only I only saw it once. Same reasons for you guys. And also, I just wanted to give it some time to breathe. I didn't want to like jump right into it. I want to forget some things.
Oh yeah.
But immediately, I'm also afraid to go see a second viewing because the first viewing was so much fun. And knowing
in
that
the theater that opening night,
it was just crazy. It was magical. So much fun. And like, I know the second viewing ever just gonna be quiet.
Yeah.
I wonder at this point, like if you go to the movie theaters to see it, will you be in a theater with people that haven't seen it yet?
Yeah.
Most likely for that's people
a really
that,
good question.
You know, because I'm interested to see like what's that dichotomy like when you're in a theater and maybe like half of the audiences have already seen it and are there for a second viewing, but half of the people are experiencing it for the first time.
And then what, like those people that are going back for a second viewing, do you think they would be more apt to cheer because they know the events are coming? Or is it sort of like been there, done that, and they're going to be low key about it? Because I got to be honest, if I saw Cap, you know, holding the hammer again, I'd be out of my seat.
Yeah, I think I'm going to cheer. Sure. I'm going to make a point to go in and cheer for everything.
Bring that enthusiasm.
Exactly. Make the experience good for someone else. All right, but let's break down this trailer. The reason why we're here today, we have a new trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home. And it opens like this. It's got Tom Holland, you know, with this little spoiler warning, which is very funny because he's known for being a spoiler machine himself.
Yeah. And they have really just like hammered him into submission at this
point.
Exactly,
yeah.
Like, you
will record this spoiler video. that was great. But immediately we're on the plane. It's Spider-Man and Happy. They're coming back from what I presume is the endgame battle. And Peter does not look good. He looks a little sad.
His eyes are just like so puffy and red, and you can tell he's been crying, and it's so heartbreaking because you know emotionally, like imagine that like they're reunited and then immediately ripped back
right away,
and there's no.
And to Peter, there was no time at all. So it's like he snapped and came back right away. So there wasn't this 5 years of being away from Tony. So it really. Yeah, Tony's taken away from him pretty abruptly.
It's his father figure.
Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man is son of Iron Man. Not to get too much far ahead into this breakdown, but he is. Anyway, so, but speaking of son of Iron Man, I like that, like, the uncle of Iron Man, Happy, is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of baffled by the fact that Jon Favreau has time to be in this movie. I think he's, like, directing Jungle Book movies, doing stuff for Disney, and then all of a sudden, like, now it's feels like he has a really big role in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, and he's definitely the link now between Iron Man and Spider-Man. Spider-Man is almost like the new Iron Man now, both I feel like in the MCU. It's like this trailer kind of alludes to the fact that, like, you know, that we then jump to that scene where he's in New York and he's fighting these robbers and the police are like, so what, are you the new Iron Man?
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, yeah, not really, but I guess the world is now trying to fill this void, and Spider-Man's still a remotely new hero. So people are looking at him to take that mantle.
You going
to
be the next Iron Man now?
Well, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy doing your jobs.
What?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Look,
keep up the good work.
Because I am going on vacation.
I love that he has that banter with the NYPD, because that kind of like drives home that like I'm just a neighborhood Spider-Man, like me and all the local guys like have this like cool banter, and they expect me, and I like give them shit because they're not doing their job and I have to do it, you know. So I think that really kind of plays into a little bit of like he has become more established in his
for
Spider-Man
sure.
responsibilities within New York.
And I think one of the sad things is actually seeing that the you know, the Netflix TV Marvel universe is kind of going away or being revamped, because it almost feels like Spider-Man fit into that world almost just as well, if not better, than the, you know, the big intergalactic MCU. They're really trying to make him seem like he's the neighborhood dude, whereas all of the other heroes, the Iron Mans, the Captain Americas, the Thors, they were the iconic heroes, right? And that's why the world is kind of grieving for Iron Man, whereas Spider-Man doesn't have that sort of same level of international appeal.
Yeah, and he still doesn't see himself as, like, a big hero, because even in the, later in the trailer, they're like, why don't you call Captain Marvel or Thor? It's like he immediately is like, why me? Like, there's so many better heroes, but this is what we got. Yeah. But yeah, so he wants to be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He can't, you know, he wants to go out to Europe with his friends. He wants to crush on MJ, but he's pulled back into this universe.
Back into the fold.
Nick Fury's calling him on the cell phone. He's ignoring him just like Tony used to do, like father, like son. That was really funny part of the trailer.
Not to nitpick, and I know we saw this coming a mile away when they first introduced Zendaya as the MJ character, but just in terms of like, a female character from the first movie where she's like super disheveled and like she's the loner and like they didn't understand like really what her role was,
what her
and
deal was.
Peter like was crushing on like the really, really pretty girl and that was super popular. And now in this movie, he's like, I think I'm really digging MJ. And I'm like, oh, you went to space and like matured and now you like the normal girl. Cool, Peter. Cool.
You know, eventually all men have that same lesson.
But I was reminded to how different her portrayal of MJ is from not only the comic books, but then also Kirsten Dunst's portrayal in the early 2000s. Because Kirsten Dunst, I feel like, went pretty faithful to the comic book. You know, she's sort of like an actress model that kind of, you know, that all the tigers, like, here's looking at you, you know.
It's,
she's very flirty, but and almost ditzy in a way.
Yeah.
And that's not this MJ.
No, definitely not.
This is a snarky kind of bookish, but then also, like, can give it back to Peter just as good as he gives it. So it's
not so much a damsel.
It's a good fit
stress.
At all.
Yeah.
At all.
All right. Well, so yeah, so then the trailer, the cuts, he's off to Europe with his friends. Finally, Nick Fury catches up to him, puts a poison dart in Ned, or I guess a sleep dart, I don't know, in Ned, which is pretty funny. And then he starts to explain, we get this awesome info dump in the middle of which blew everybody's minds today. And it's that Nick Fury brings Spider-Man down to this underground European base, and there is Quentin Beck, a.k.a. Mysterio, who we learn is a superpowered person from another Earth.
This is Mr. Beck.
We could have used someone like you on my world.
New world?
Beck is from Earth, just not ours. A snap to our hole in our dimension.
You're saying there's a multiverse?
We have a job to do, and you're coming with us.
Now we have a Marvel multiverse.
Yeah.
Like, what? I watched that trailer, and then I watched it again, and I was like, wait a second. So Mysterio's the good guy now?
Yeah.
Or this is a fake out.
We know he's not.
He can't be.
I mean, because it was announced that, like, Mysterio was the villain. And in the comics, he's traditionally a villain, correct?
But so, yes. And I think there are definitely versions of him where he's, like, playing like he's the good guy, but then he's the bad guy. But it honestly opens up so many possibilities for ways that characters could change, evolve, or we could see different versions of them. Like, for example, like, you know, I just mentioned that version of MJ, but how cool would it be to see that kind of redheaded, typical MJ from another universe?
Totally.
It also makes me totally look at now Into the Spider-Verse as like a total, like, is that maybe canon now? Like, what's going on there?
I know. I was in my mind, I was like, okay, so do all Spider-Man movies just have multiple universes now? Well, this is like a thing, or they saw, I don't know how long MCU's been planning this, but obviously you see the success of something like Into the Spider-Verse and how well it did. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they were like, cool, let's just bop that into our movie too.
Yeah, I mean, because they were working on Into the Spider-Verse for such a long time that they had to know what they were playing with. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sony, who is the maker of this Spider-Man and Into the Spider-Verse, was like, hey, listen, we're making a multiverse. Like,
totally.
You're either coming along for the ride, MCU, or not. Mm-hmm. And for the MCU, the multiverse just solves so many problems.
So many issues.
And also creates so many avenues to make like amazing more movies. Like now you can bring in a entirely new cast of Avengers. It's very easy to explain away a new Captain America somewhere down the line.
Oh yeah.
And also
bring back Steve Rogers for sure.
And if you guys remember in our Endgame podcast or somewhere, I don't know, maybe in the office we were talking about, I don't know where we're talking about this, but maybe the snap and this now event is what brings X-Men and Fantastic Four into the fold.
I mean, that's got to be, that feels like the most logical use of the multiverse, because if X-Men and Fantastic Four were not at least playing some sort of role in this Thanos Infinity War, like what were they doing?
Yeah.
And an easy way to explain that is, oh, they were in
a different
multiverse where that just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
They had other issues. That being the Fox multiverse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is kind of hilarious, because I'd love to see some of our MCU characters go to the Fox verse. I mean, and then immediately, I don't know.
I could easily see, obviously, like the end credit scene of Far From Home, and it's like Peter meeting the X-Men, and it's like, what? I'm like, that's it. And they're like, cool, phase four, get ready.
No, exactly.
Get the Fox
for
ready.
Sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it opens up a ton of opportunities, and but also at the same time, I have this nagging feeling, like, why would you trust Mysterio? I mean, Mysterio is also a character that's known for, he fakes out his opponents with illusions.
Yeah.
And his whole thing is misdirection. Mm-hmm. So what if we're getting all excited about this, and this is just not the case?
So you're saying, like, what if he is lying to Nick Fury? And he's like, there's no multiverse. I'm just a normal bad dude. I'm using the events of the snap to just play into what I want to happen anyways.
Exactly. Because what would Peter want to hear more right now in his time of grief is that there's a multiverse and there could be another Tony out there.
So
it seems like a really effed up way to pull on his strings, you know?
I mean, I think my reaction is, oh, that's sad. Max is laughing. Like, what?
Well, I was saying, like, yes, I trust you, Mr. Fishbowl Man.
Yes.
You definitely look like someone I can trust. I mean, your name is Mysterio. That's definitely the name of a hero.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's very possible this could be just all misdirection, because it is also something, it's a big thing for Marvel to put out there. And it would be a really cool twist, although it's probably going to piss everybody off if it's not true.
I mean, I think it's interesting because I follow the social media pretty closely. And
the Twitters, the Facebooks.
Mostly the Instagram. But it makes a lot of sense now, because recently Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Holland had started posting a lot of photos of them together, of them on set, and all of their captions were like, the dream team, like, so excited, the dream team. And so I think they were kind of obviously teasing that this trailer was going to drop, and it's like, oh, wait, we're working together.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Or is it that it's all been a dream that Mysterio has created, and that's why they're using the word dream team?
Well, that's, oh, there you go. Well, that's what I've been warning about. These villains that are also in this movie, like these elemental villains. I don't know if these are real characters. Anybody know? Oh, wait a minute.
We might have someone who knows information.
Let's dust off our old friend, Warvis.
He has purpose again.
Yeah.
Pull him out of the storage closet where he has been comfily, like, hanging out.
Yep. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, first of all, where have you been?
late to the game.
Get with us.
And second, Warvis is Sci-Fi Wire's janky Warvis.
He takes offense to that.
He does. I know, but that's just how I intro him. But let's ask him. So, Warvis, you're the all-knowing MCU robot. Who are these guys?
It's so wonderful to be back. So, so wonderful. You won't forget about me, will you? Well, anyway. The Elementals are four extra-dimensional humanoids who become immortal with power over natural forces and who rule the kingdom on Earth before the rise of the original Atlantis. They are Hydron, Lord of the Waters, Magnum, Master of the Earth, Hellfire, Wielder of the Flame, and Zephyr, Mistress of the Winds.
Wow. That's a lot more involved and complicated than I thought they were.
I mean, what they really need to do is get Avatar the Last Airbender up in here and all of the problems would be solved.
Yep.
M. Night, where you been at?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Surprise, directing credit, M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan. But I mean, it's interesting bringing in, if they do decide to go down the sort of like Egyptian lore component, because this would be then a good opportunity to introduce Moon Knight, if that is the case. Which I think would be very interesting.
And Moon Knight for our listeners.
Yeah, and for Morgan.
And let's, Morgan and myself.
Let's give a...
Who is Moon?
This is another perfect opportunity to throw to Warvis.
Oh, yeah, throw it to him. Why not?
Got the lowdown.
Moon Knight is the alias used by Mark Spector, a Jewish-American rabbi's wayward son. While working for the African mercenary Raoul Bushman in Egypt, his group stumbled upon an archaeological dig. The dig had uncovered an ancient temple where artifacts included a statue of the Egyptian moon god Khonsu. Intent on looting the dig, Bushman killed the archaeologists, and Spectre challenged Bushman to personal combat, but he was defeated and left to die in sub-zero temperatures of the desert night. The Egyptians who worshipped the ancient gods found Spectre and carried him to their temple. Helpless before the statue of Khonsu, Spectre's heart stopped. Khonsu appeared to him in a vision, offering Spectre a second chance at life if he became the god's avatar on Earth. Spectre awoke, wrapped himself in the silver shroud that covered Khonsu's statue, and again confronted Bushman. He defeated Bushman and returned to America, creating a silver cloaked costume based on the silver shroud, and became Moon Knight, aka the Fist of Khonsu.
All right, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's dope shit.
All right, cool.
Extremely
like
dope.
Thank you.
Similarly, my powers wax and wane with the moon.
Oh.
So.
Well, that is good to know, too. All right, so yeah, we Mysterio, these elemental villains, multiverses, it's crazy. But, you know, one thing that's I think that's hammering people overhead in this trailer is that, like, you know, we're obviously in a world without Iron Man. Peter's seeing Iron Man all over the world. He can't escape it. And the whole time Nick Fury is poking him, and basically just asking, are you going to step up or not? Are you going to fill this void? And when you think about the title of the movie, Far From Home, you know, it's not necessarily, home isn't necessarily a place. Home is like Spider-Man's state of mind, his being. He's far from everything that was, you know, is old to him. So now he's got to step up and be new. He's far from home.
Not only Peter Parker. This is a completely new world for everyone. 50% of the people have snapped. 50% of the people were not snapped. They've aged a bunch. Yep. So it's like, I feel like just like a completely new place for everyone to be operating.
Yeah, that's a great point too.
And super lucky that all of Peter's friends got snapped.
Yeah,
and,
so.
And his aunt May seems to be the same age.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. So I guess she was conveniently.
That might just be Marissa
snapped.
Tomei just looking so good.
Do we know Happy was snapped? I mean, that's not even clear either.
He does look pretty gray. Like his.
Let's ask Warvis that. Warvis, was Happy Hogan snapped?
I am confirming that Happy was not snapped.
He is unstumpable.
I don't know.
No, but I think what's really interesting for me, because in coming out of Endgame, the connection between Peter and Tony, I feel like they really, really just solidified that home.
Yeah. They're but father and son.
For 100%. Mm-hmm. But after watching Black Panther, the first thing that came to my mind was Shuri is going to be the one to sort of pick up the mantle from Tony. Mm. And now that is completely just a big question mark for me is, you know, there's definitely the role of iconic Avenger. Mm-hmm. And is that mantle now going to fall on Peter if he's willing to step up and take it? And it seems like, I don't know, he's got this cool sort of like overlaid gauntlet shiny thing going on.
Yeah.
Well, totally sweet.
Yeah.
No clue what that is.
I think it would be such an interesting, I wouldn't say risk, but an interesting decision for the MCU to introduce Tom Holland as Spider-Man and have all of us be so receptive and so excited about him as Spider-Man, and then basically be like, Tom Holland is now Iron Man, and then would they recast someone else to become a new Spider-Man if he does pick up the mantle of Iron Man? Or are we just talking about, in theoretical terms, like Spider-Man will become that big new hero, not necessarily he will wear Tony's suit?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think he would wear Tony's suit. I think it's more of like, who do you pin the MCU on now as like your central character, like Iron Man has been.
Gotcha.
Although,
but yeah,
they did sort of set that precedent with Hulk wearing the Hulkbuster suit in Endgame, which I thought was super dope. Yep. And you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that Hulk is going to take up the mantle of Iron Man.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
That is something that heroes can do.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much they can go with this. I mean, they have to eventually. Somebody's got to be Iron Man. The suit's too cool.
It's too cool. It's
you know,
too cool.
Like it's just so easy to put someone in it. But yeah, I think we're going to wait a while though, before someone actually is back in that armor again. Yeah.
I mean, you've got to, can only imagine what that moment would be in a future MCU movie where someone snaps into the Iron Man suit and just everyone like losing their minds.
Yeah. Yep. It'd
be a sweet moment.
Yeah. Or Iron Man flies through an alternate dimension and here's Robert Downey Jr. back again. We'll see.
In my extensive internet research since having seen the movie about all of the potentials and what ifs and how are they going to reconcile with Robert Downey Jr. being gone, one of the most promising ones I read was at the funeral where he kind of had recorded that holographic, image of himself and he's saying goodbye to Pepper and to his daughter and to everyone. I think there is precedent in one of the comic books that Tony thinks that he is going to die or he's going into some epic battle and he basically like downloads his consciousness into one of his AI machines.
He's Jarvis. Oh, yeah.
And so basically it could be, you know, holographic Tony that we could see in the future, or he could have like, I don't know, we found one last message from him and it's really what Peter needs to be like, it's all you, kid. Like,
I would totally put my bets on that. Mm-hmm. Like, if him coming back in any form, he's coming back as like, like a force ghost AI.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
All right, cool. So, but yeah, I mean, like, that's generally the trailer. Ends on a really funny note with Happy trying to save Spider-Man's friends who, again, I don't know who was snapped or whatever, but they're all back and they're all the same age and everybody seems fine. There's a new girl in the group. That blonde girl who I was, I don't know, is that Gwen Stacy?
I missed that, but maybe.
There's another one in the group that's with them. That's obviously a new character that they just didn't call out because she's in multiple, you look closely. But it might just be someone that didn't get snapped and actually aged appropriately into that grade.
And they're like, last time I saw you, you were Cassie's age. Crazy. Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Super awkward.
Yeah. The post-snap world is a hellscape. I've said it again.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
But that's the trailer. So let's just talk about, you guys have a favorite moment from the trailer?
I would say getting, you know, our first actual lines of dialogue and good look at Jake Gyllenhaal, because, I mean, he's a good-looking dude. And the original trailer was more so him fighting the elementals, and you don't really see him as a character. But, you know, seeing his full costume and, like, his interaction with Nick Fury and explaining about, you know, why I could have really used you on my Earth, you know, seeing more of his character come out a bit, I thought that was really exciting.
I mean, for me, it's got to be Nick Fury saying,
"Bitch, please, you've been to space."
Yeah, that was pretty great. Yeah, I love any moment in the MCU when they just call out the ridiculousness of it, you know? Like, yeah, that was really good.
What about you? Did you have a favorite, Matt?
You know, I like that they allude to MJ actually just figuring out that he's Spider-Man.
MJ, I
am Spider-Man.
No, of course I'm not.
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I'm all about that. Sure. I hate the secret identity thing. It's just impossible. She would know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad if she does know that it makes things more interesting to me.
I agree with that. I feel like they always, you know, that's a trope in superhero movies where they play with the secret identity and it becomes this huge plot point And you know exactly how it's going to end. How could you keep this from me? And it's tiring. It just makes everything so much better.
I kept it from you to keep you safe.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, he even says it in this trailer. He said, "I feel like my friend. I'm always putting my friends in danger. Yeah. Like I feel like they're always, you know, because of me.
Right.
So he will play with that typical superhero, you know, problem. It seems like in this movie.
And there's one other moment I really like, and this is at, I think, 2 minutes, 15 seconds in the trailer around. It's really quick and you miss it, but somebody took a screen grab and caught it. There's a point where Peter puts on Tony's glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony has those awesome, like, Iron Man glasses he wears that he's able to, like, basically see his HUD display or something. And I guess, I don't know, Peter ends up with them.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Wonder why. But it was like dad putting on, his dad's glasses. Fun putting on dad's glasses. Yeah, that was cute. But yeah, no, I thought overall a fun trailer. The one question I had when I was done watching is like, why didn't we just wait until now? Like, we didn't have to see the other trailers. I would have much. I understand it's Sony and they're not necessarily Marvel and they had to put out a trailer. But now knowing Endgame, how cool would it have been if this was the first time you saw all that stuff?
It would have been cooler.
Oh yeah, it would have been, as opposed to it would have.
You know, because now it's like all stupid misdirection. You know, I don't know, but but now it's cool. I mean, I'm definitely more excited now for Spider-Man than I was.
No, for sure. I think now I just wish I had been in how many meetings between Sony and Marvel occurred where Sony said, "Can we put out this trailer?" And Marvel said, "No."
Yeah, I know.
And then Sony said, "Can we put out this trailer?" And they were like, "No."
Well, even the suits, it's like the Iron Spider suit isn't in any of the trailers until this one. Uh-huh. So they're like, "Can we use Iron Spider?" Like, no.
No,
and he also has a new suit, the black one, the all black one that he wears in the trailer.
Almost like the noir suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And he has his classic blue and red, which I'm curious, like, which suit did he bring to Europe? Did he bring one at all?
I mean, if you're traveling to Europe, you need to come with a bevy of outfits.
Yes, that's true. You never know, especially in Europe. I mean, we have no ranking, so
it's a definitive 14 out of 22.
But how about just final thoughts on this trailer and where your mind's at going into the rest of the MCU, I guess?
I don't think I'm quite ready to process a movie in a post-Endgame world. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm glad that it is a Spider-Man movie because it feels like if you were to rewind to, like, 2007 or 2008, right, what's the Marvel movie that you would have been the most excited for? It's Spider-Man. Spider-Man is one of the most iconic Marvel superheroes, and it just feels like Spider-Man is going to carry through to the next phase and be an increasingly bigger part in that. In that universe. So I think I'm excited to see what Peter Parker has to offer in the new phase.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of also in the same headspace in terms of I'm still processing Avengers Endgame. And if you think about it, like, Spider-Man Far From Home comes out in July. That's like a month away, really.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So that's a quick turnaround.
Sure is.
Between, and you know, I'm sure, like you said before, Matt, Sony isn't Marvel and isn't Disney, and so they can kind of, to some degree, do what they want. Mm-hmm. But like you said, Max, like, the number of meetings where they're like, "Can we release it in? Can we release it in May? No. Can we release it in June? No. Can we release it in July?" They're like, "Fine, guys. Oh my god." So
Endgame will probably still
be
in
theaters. Why are you obsessed with me?
Yeah. And I feel like part of me feels like it's a bit too soon to like jump into that. But then the other part of me is like, well, I want the answer. So who am I to complain?
And it's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Feige knows what he's doing. He's following up with one of his A-list talents. Oh, and the music. How else did they make that the theme?
So good.
So good. All right, cool. Well, we will leave it there. If you listeners at home are looking for more, be sure to check out our associate features editor, Caitlin Bush, did a great write-up of the trailer on Sci-Fi Wire. So you can check that out there and also watch the trailer wherever. I mean, hopefully you know how to use the internet. It's there. Can't miss it today.
It's a great tool.
But thanks for listening. We'll be back eventually with something, but you can definitely be sure to keep a lookout for our review of Spider-Man Far From Home when it premieres in July. Sweet. Until then, we'll be listening for all the news and keeping updated on everything MCU as it comes along.
All right.
So thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.